Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, here's the good news. Jesus Christ is alive, and because he's alive, we can spend our lives giving praise to him. And yesterday I introduced a verse. It's Hebrews 13:15, and it says this: through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. You know, in this new covenant, there's no more sacrifice for sin. There's no more sacrifices that we can bring to God to get ourselves into his good graces. Christ has done it all. He offered himself once for all. He took away sin. He ushered in this new covenant. And in this new covenant, he remembers our sins no more. And where there is forgiveness, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Yeah. The only sacrifice in this new covenant is a heart that says, thank you. And Yes. Boy, guys, in this new covenant, we have so much to be thankful for. And Andrew, you're joining us today. And welcome to Basic Gospel, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Yeah, you know, this is actually one of my favorite passages. I love the book of Hebrews, but chapter 13, what I love about it is, you know, right before this verse, he's saying, you know, there were these animal sacrifices that were burned outside the camp. So you can imagine these smelly carcasses outside the city walls. And then that's where they took Jesus to be crucified, not down in center stage in the midst of Jerusalem, not in the temple, not, you know, near the Holy of Holies, not in a glamorous place, but in a place outside the city gates. And, you know, it says that because of that, there's a disgrace to it, or there's a reproach to it, or that people would criticize. And so it says, bearing the disgrace that he bore. And what I love about this is that, yeah, I mean, we might have circumstances that feel like a disgrace to us. We might have disrespect from the religious establishment. Nevertheless, you know, God is calling us to give thanks for the name of Jesus, and that's what he's pleased with, the fruit of lips that confess his name. So you're right. You know, earlier it says it's not ceremonial foods, it's not sacrifices that we make to God, it's not a bunch of religious effort. It's simply looking at the gospel and saying, wow, and thank you. And that is what God is looking for, a thankful heart and our lips, you know, recognizing his name and praising his name.
As I said yesterday, grace-filled faith is expressed with heartfelt thanks. That's the way it works in this good news of Jesus Christ. When the grace of God has gripped your hearts, you will know it because your heart will respond with this attitude of gratefulness, thankfulness. You'll just live every day saying, Lord Jesus, thank you for what you accomplished for me through your death, burial, and resurrection. Well, this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. If you would like to be a part of today's edition, we would love to hear from you. Callers are calling right now, so if you would like to be a part, I would encourage you to call right now as well. 844-322-2742. Richard Piper is here. Andrew Farley is here. And my name is Bob Christopher, and we certainly welcome you as well. So, guys, let's start in Auburn, California, and talk with Cynthia, who's listening to us on KFIA. Hi, Cynthia. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hello. How are you? It's so nice to be able to talk to you guys. Mm-hmm. I listen to you actually every day at 3:30 on my ride home.
Well, fantastic, Cynthia. We're glad you're a part of the program every day.
I absolutely love it. And I've been wanting to call for a really long time with a question that I have, and more so now that I have a 2.5-year-old little boy. And my question and dilemma that I have is in teaching him, well, more so, I guess, in maybe doing the opposite of something that I struggle with, and it would probably be an easier to give you an example. And that is in how to teach him. I know that Jesus, hung out with people that were sinners, and he didn't just, hang out with the moral people and this and that. And I struggle with that tremendously, and I tend to distance myself from people who are not of the same faith, and especially people who have a lifestyle that I believe are wrong according to scriptures. And the biggest example that I have, I know some people that are homosexual, and it's two women, and they're actually very nice people, but I don't socialize with them by any means. And it just really has me struggling with how I'm supposed to raise my son in not just thinking that all these people are bad, which I don't. I just wish that they would come to Christ and know that things that they're doing is wrong. But I don't want, to lead him by example of, not mm-hmm. reaching out or loving people mm-hmm. that I, you know what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. kind of hard to put
well, Cynthia,
into
I think
words,
that's,
but it's something I struggle.
Yeah, I think that is a wonderful question. And the fact that you have a 2.5-year-old boy and you're thinking, okay, how is this love of Christ going to impact him? How is he going to see the world? And, I think it's a wonderful topic to discuss because we all face it. And so, Richard, Andrew, what are some thoughts that come to your mind as Cynthia was posing this question?
Well, Cynthia, the reason that that they are a homosexual couple is because they've let you know. In other words, they speak their beliefs. They're not holding back about them. And I would just encourage you to remember that you get to be yourself. You get to be a believer in Jesus Christ, a child of God, standing up for what you believe and what you think is best for your son. And as you look at the situation, obviously we're not supposed to love the behavior. The Bible says that they will be surprised that you don't walk with them and that you don't engage in what they engage in. So I think first and foremost, you've already recognized I've got a new heart. I've got a new spirit. I've got Christ living in me. I'm a child of God. I don't agree with that lifestyle. I'm not walking in that lifestyle. They're not interested in conversion at this point, to your knowledge. They may ask you about the hope that is within you, and it's certainly a good, sound idea to be ready to give an account of the hope that is within you. But when you have that opportunity, we're told to do it with gentleness and respect. So there's the idea that I will respect them as human beings on this planet with rights, government-given rights, but I don't have to agree with their behavior, and I don't have to love their behavior, and I don't have to teach my child to agree with their behavior. I get to be myself just as they get to be themselves. And so I think, with some healthy boundaries in your thinking about who you are and what you want your family to look like, you can stand up for what you believe, be a respecter of other people, without agreeing with any ounce of the lifestyle that's going on there. Does that help some?
It does. And fortunately, I don't encounter these people very often. My husband is a contractor, and he happened to be referred to this couple mm-hmm. and had done some work on their house, but they live in the same town. And we did become on friendly terms because one of the ladies was also wanting to help and do work on the house to keep the cost down. So that's how I knew them. And they live in the same town, so I do run into them from time to time. And I always just, I try and stay away from confrontation if at all possible. I'm not comfortable in getting into that sort of thing. So I just always try. And if I see him at the grocery store, I kind of go the other way, and mm-hmm. I feel bad about that. And I wonder, am in that example, am I doing wrong by my son or should I just approach them and just be cordial and friendly?
Yeah, I don't think you want your son getting the impression that the normal Christian life or the normal human life is that, the lifestyle that they're choosing. So I understand your hesitancy to go down the grocery aisle with your son in hand and, you know, say, look, son, look at this couple, and try to have to explain that at 2.5 years old. I think you're just going to have to trust the Lord with this and say, you know, Lord, I want to be myself in this. I don't want to hide what I believe. I don't want to hide my opinions, thoughts, and beliefs, but I also want to protect my son. And so in each and every situation, I want you to teach me to be myself, teach me to be who I am in Christ. And I'm trusting you with that. And it's just going to be a situation by situation basis. But remember, you have a right to speak your mind, to hold your beliefs, to have your opinions, and just as they do as citizens of the United States. So, stick to your guns, hold to your beliefs, be yourself. And I would say, trust God in every given situation. There's really no better answer.
Yeah, let me piggyback on that a little bit. I think the problem you're describing is not how to raise your son, but how to deal with the conflict in your own life.
Because
your son will pick up on that conflict far more than he picks up on your words. Children are really smart. They know when their parents are consistent and when we're inconsistent. So I'd highly recommend following through with what Andrew was saying and let the Spirit give you the courage and the assurance to be who you are as a child of God, and that will go a long ways towards offering the protection to your son that he deserves to have.
Okay, wonderful. I certainly appreciate that, and I think Bob, I think it was you that you were on the air by yourself yesterday.
That's correct.
You, and I can't even remember the topic now, but I tried to go home and pull my Bible out to reference something that you were discussing, and it was, you said it was one of your favorite maybe passages, but it was, I can't remember the book, but it was the verses I think you said were like 3, 5, and 6.
Yeah, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Proverbs.
Yes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths.
Thank you. I remembered the 3, 5, and 6, but I didn't remember the Proverbs.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Cynthia. Well, thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Let's go to Salem, Oregon, and talk with Steve, listening to us on KORE. Hi, Steve. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call. I was just going to throw this out there. If it's okay, I'll take the response off there.
Okay.
I was wondering what the way that salvation before Christ, how they viewed that and how they went about that.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. It's always been faith. That's the thing, is that people were saved by faith. Abraham was a recipient of a promise, and that was 430 years before Moses. So, you know, Abraham would have said, Moses who? The law? What's the law? And yet Abraham will be in heaven. And, of course, we look to Abraham, in a sense, you know, through the faith. He was the father of, this promise. I mean, he was the recipient of the promise. And so it says that we are all sons of Abraham by faith. So faith is what saves. Faith is what saved in the Old Testament, and faith is what saves in the New Testament. I mean, the Bible tells us no law has ever been given that was able to impart life. No one has ever been justified by the law. And justification happens apart from the law. And it's, you know, ultimately the conclusion we draw is that Old Testament people had a faith in Yahweh. They had a faith in God as they knew him and understood him. And yeah, they were looking forward to a future Messiah in some sense, but they weren't, they didn't have a lot of understanding of what that would look like. Still, they were calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And that's the reason that David is in heaven, and David is a saved person. Even though he lived in the era of the law, he did not look to the law as the means to his justification. So all the way through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, every single human being that is justified before God, they are justified because they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and they called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. So it's always been about faith.
Yeah. And Steve, the faith that they expressed, the writer of Hebrews talks about that in Hebrews chapter 11. He defines faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And then he goes on to say, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So that was the faith that was expressed by those saints of old, and that's the faith that we express, but we do so more thoroughly because of the work of Christ Jesus. And then, Andrew and Richard, it's kind of interesting, you know, in this new covenant, we receive the gift of God's Spirit. So God comes to take up residence in our lives. That wasn't the case for those guys in the Old Testament at all. They just were credited righteousness, and they were held in a place until Christ could finish his work. And only then were they able to receive this salvation in whole or in full. But today, when we receive Christ, we receive the gift of God's Spirit. We're fully alive in Christ, and Christ is fully alive in us. And that's a big difference between the new covenant believer and those that were before the cross. So does that help you, Steve?
Yeah, that helps a little bit. So what you're saying is faith, because like it says, no one comes to the Father except through me. And then also, as you mentioned, it didn't have the benefit of the Holy Spirit residing in him. So what I hear you saying now is it was still boiled down to faith.
Absolutely.
Yep. Always by grace through faith.
Yeah, that helps a lot. I appreciate your time on that.
You're welcome, Steve. Hey, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Martin, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Martin. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Well, hello there.
What's on your mind today?
It's a blessing to hear your show.
And thank you.
First, I want to say congratulations and continue the good work.
Well, thank you for the encouragement, Martin. We certainly appreciate that.
Amen. And now I'd like to find out if you can explain Ephesians 4:26. It tells us, do not give the devil a foothold. I explain what it means.
Well, the context there is anger. It's followed by the issue of stealing, but really it's preceded by the issue of anger. And I think we can all give testimony to the fact that, you know, when we get hot mad in a situation, those emotions can really take over. Those emotions can lead to all kinds of bad choices. And so that would be the foothold that we're giving the enemy. The power of sin is going to have a heyday in our lives if we are being controlled by emotions of anger. And so that's why it says, you know, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. It says, in your anger, do not sin. So it's okay to feel stuff, Martin. You know, we're going to feel anger. Then the next moment we might feel sadness. And then we feel, you know, elation, the ultimate of excitement about something. And our emotions are all over the place. But when we let our emotions control our choices, we're going to be in real hot water. I mean, we've got a situation where the enemy is going to flood us with thoughts that only fuel that emotion and fuel that anger. And then we end up lashing out at someone, doing what we don't want to do. And then there we are with egg on our face, so to speak. We're ashamed of what happened, and we're going to apology mode, regretting the choices we made. So ultimately, I think the context here is don't let emotions, and particularly don't let anger, rule in your life. And you say, well, how do you not do that? Well, through forgiveness, releasing people from what they owe you, letting them off the hook, not keeping score. That would be the real motivation behind all of this. And of course, Christ and his forgiveness of us is the best example of how we let people off the hook. We have an attitude where we leave scorekeeping behind and we really begin to choose love, unconditional love, and then anger won't control us anymore. Does that help?
Yes. Thanks, brother.
Well, good. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Thank you, Martin.
Yeah, we sure appreciate that. Andrew, as you were talking there about, not letting these emotions rule us, it's kind of interesting. The book of Ephesians is all about unity, the fact that God has brought Jew and Gentile together as one new man in Christ. And in chapter 4, he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And when we allow anger and other negative emotions to rule the roost, so to speak, we're really drawing lines. We're dividing ourselves from others. We're dividing the body. And that's where the devil really gets a foothold. That's when he can really cause all kinds of problems and issues within, individual relationships, family relationships, and then, the bigger relationships that we have within the body of Christ.
Yes.
And so it's so important to recognize these things and allow God's love to be the compelling motivation for, how we see others, how we act toward others, how we think toward mm-hmm. others. So,
Martin, just a follow-up, it's on my mind. Do you feel like you have let the devil have a foothold in some way, or are you worried or concerned about something here?
Well, my own life, certain people in my family, I wouldn't mention on the air because the Lord
sure.
took care of it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I was just concerned that maybe you were asking the question because you felt like, the enemy had a foothold in your life. And, this doesn't mean anything about our salvation. We can be saved people with Christ living in us. But this is an attitude passage. And, the enemy can get a foothold in our attitudes. And so everything that Bob said, we're really just saying here, we can turn away from bitterness and resentment in our attitudes, and we can forgive as an attitude of love toward other people. But, none of this affects our salvation or our position in Christ. Of course, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. So thanks for your question today, Martin. Appreciate you.
Yeah, we certainly do. Well, I want to spend just a few minutes, and then we'll go to our final caller, talking about the financial needs of Basic Gospel. This is a listener-supported radio program. We started the broadcast with a wonderful passage out of Hebrews about the continual offering up of this sacrifice of praise to God. And here's what gifts to Basic Gospel do. Through your generosity, both through your prayers and your financial gifts, you are encouraging people the world over to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. It is an incredible thing to see how God takes these gifts, this grace of giving that you exercise by contributing to Basic Gospel, and how he invests that in the lives of people in such a way that their lives become filled with grace and their hearts get filled with gratitude. And so come join us. Be a part of the Basic Gospel team. Give a generous gift today so that you can get the word of God's love and grace and forgiveness and mercy and hope in Christ into the lives of people, not only in your hometown, but in towns and cities and communities all over the world. Your gifts, I guarantee you, will make a difference in such a positive and wonderful way. So all the information on how you can be a part of the Basic Gospel team is available at basicgospel.net. Just simply go to that website, basicgospel.net. Click the support link or donate link on the homepage, and all the information on how you can join the Basic Gospel team is right there. If you would prefer to call, we have a toll-free number, and that number is this, 844-41-BASIC, 844-41-BASIC, or the actual number is 844-412-2742, 844-412-2742. Well, now for Richard Pfeiffer, for Andrew Farley, for the entire Basic Gospel team. This is Bob Christopher saying so long from Louisville, Texas. We'll see you again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.